Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. It's wonderful. We have embarked on a series entitled Faith, and it is an exciting time to be alive in God's Word. By way of review, in session one, the first segment was entitled The God Kind of Faith. The God Kind of Faith. We read in Mark 11:22 that Jesus said unto his disciples, have faith in God. And then we noted the marginal reading in the King James Version, where many of us were taught, have the faith of God. Have the faith of God. And I noted other translations of that particular verse. Young's Literal says, have the faith of God. Douay Version reads, have the faith of God. The Bible in Basic English reads, have the faith of God. And I relayed the story that when I first heard that, I never knew what that meant. Never knew what it was, why my teacher would say or even mention the original reads, have the faith of God. Then we began to study the word and look and see exactly what the faith of God was. We went to Genesis chapter 1 and we noted from verses 1 through 3. It said, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. You can't get no farther back than this as far as the Bible goes, right? So we can't say there's something before that we missed. So we're at the first verse, right? Verse 2 said, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Also noted verse 9 where it said, and God said, let the waters be gathered, and so forth and so on. I taught you that verse 2 said that the Spirit of God was present. The Spirit of God was present. And it hovered, the Word of God says, over the face, it moved over the face of the waters. But at verse 2, nothing had happened. The only thing that we note from the scriptures at the earth, that point in time, the creation, this area in the scripture was in a mess. But God was present. It wasn't until God spoke. It wasn't until God spoke in verse 3 that things began to come back into where God wanted things. See? We saw that words were carriers of God's faith, and he's spoken into being. He's spoken into being. Likewise, when a born-again believer is present, where there is the need of the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God is also present. Let me say that to you again. When there's a need, when there's a situation, and a born-again believer is there, the Spirit of God is also there. Why? Because it's in this born-again believer. But the Spirit of God was in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, and nothing happened. Nothing happened until what? God did what? He spoke. Likewise, when a born-again believer is in a situation where there is a need, the Spirit of God is there. But nothing will happen until the born-again believer engages, till he exercises his authority, until the born-again believer speaks. And he has to speak in faith. And he has to speak the faith of God. He has to have the God kind of faith. And the God kind of faith is what it says in the end of verse 9 of chapter 1 in Genesis. And it was what? That's a God kind of faith. When God speaks, it is what? It is so. That's why we're exhorted to have the God kind of faith. Because when we speak with the God kind of faith, it is so. It always comes to pass. Does God ever say anything that does not come to pass? Because he's God and he always uses what kind of faith? His own. The God kind of faith. And that's why we are to have that. We then went back to Mark 11:23 and noted Jesus teaching us how to manifest this God kind of faith. Verse 23, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever things he saith. And that was the key. That was what Jesus Christ taught us. Two of the keys that Jesus Christ taught us here in Mark 11 is that we are to speak and we are to believe. We are to speak and believe. This is how we exercise the God kind of faith. It says, "Who I say unto you, that whosoever shall what? Say." If you're going to say something, you have to what? Speak. And I taught you that he used a mountain for an example, but he did not mean a literal mountain. What he meant was the mountain in your life. It does nobody any good to remove a mountain and throw it into the sea. No good. But it does you a lot of good to speak to the mountain of fear, the mountain of bitterness, the mountain of hatred, the mountain of failure, the mountain of humility, the mountain of whatever the mountain is in your life that's stopping you from being your best from God, for God. Does you a lot of good to speak into to that mountain and say, get out of here. Right? Sure, then you can be victorious. Then you can live the way God wants you to live. Then you can move and do the things that God has called you to do. Speak and believe. You got to speak and believe. This is how you exercise the God kind of faith. But it works in reverse. If you want to exercise the world kind of faith, if you want to exercise the devil kind of faith, just speak and believe that way. Oh, I'm always going to be a loser. Oh, I feel sick. Oh, I think I have this disease. Oh, I'm never going to do this. Oh, I'm mad at so-and-so. Oh, I'm going to do such and so. I'll never get a job. I'll never pass. See? That's the devil kind of faith. It works two ways. It's positive and negative. Jesus said that we should have the God kind of faith. When putting Genesis 1 and Mark 11 together, we may conclude that the God kind of faith is to believe in your heart and say with your mouth, and it will be so. That's the God kind of faith. Who operated the God kind of faith? Mary. Be it unto me according to thy what? She said it with her mouth, she believed it in her heart, and it was what? And it was so. Very wonderful woman. Operated the God kind of faith. The very creation of God was put together this way. There would be no creation. There would be no creation recorded in Genesis 1 if it wasn't for the God kind of faith and it wasn't for this principle that I'm teaching you to speak with your mouth. Hebrews 11 verse 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of what? Word of God. So that things which were not, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. It was the Word of God. The Word of God. Where was the Word of God? Here's the Word of God. Let there be light. Let the land be gathered together and the sea split. Let so and so do such and such. Let's make man in our own. He spoke. The world were framed. The worlds were framed by the Word of God. He just spoke it, operating the God kind of faith. That's what that verse means. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. The worlds themselves, creation themselves. We saw in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, that we are instructed to be followers of God. Mimic God, imitate God, clone God is another translation. If we're going to imitate God, then we ought to imitate God's faith. So it's not blasphemous, it's not blasphemy to imitate the faith of God. We're encouraged to do so. I shared with you that you can't teach more than you know, and that when you begin to work the Word of God, you must be willing to unlearn as you are as willing to learn. I taught you that if your foundation is wrong, your tendency will be to view everything that you read or work in light of that theology. I then referenced Genesis 1:26 for an example We quoted it. God, let us make man in our image. And I showed you that if you were a Trinitarian, you would interpret that verse in light of that doctrine, that theology, that the us and the our is referring to God. I taught you that if you were a Unitarian, that your interpretation would be different. Perhaps it was a figure, as the Queen of England uses to this day, to speak in her royal capacity, we the Queen of England. But I'd simply reference that verse in those two stands, those two theological positions on God's Word, to show you how people can interpret the same verse of Scripture through their preconceived ideas and prejudice. I explained to you that I had that problem when it came to the spirit realm, that I couldn't move ahead in the spirit realm. My problem was I was waiting for red light, green light revelation. What red light, green light revelation boiled down to me was seeking a sign from God. The sign that I was seeking was a green light. If I didn't get a green light, you know what I did? Nothing. Nothing. But when I learned that Mark 16 said, signs, miracles, and wonders follow them that believe, don't precede them that believe, and I got my understanding straight on that particular key, I was able to move ahead, and I too was able to cast out demons and heal the sick, and not before. Now that doesn't mean that I was taught from an evil person. That doesn't mean what I was taught was evil. What it could mean is I just misunderstood and applied it in the wrong way. Not blaming anybody, just blaming me. But I believed that, and then when I came to the Scriptures, that belief wouldn't let me see the truth of what the Scripture was trying to teach. So I had to deal with it, and I dealt with it from the Word. And once I got convinced on the Word that it was so simple from the Word that I was wrong and the Scripture's right, I changed my mind and I was able to move ahead. I also taught you that if things aren't working in your life, you need to change. Because God's Word is yea and amen. You understand? He's always right. The promises of God always come to pass. God cannot lie. And if He states it in His Word and it's applicable to you, it's for you. And if you're not manifesting it in your life, you need to change something in your life, because I guarantee you that the throne of God is not wrong. Got it? So you know what you do? You change. Don't sit there and grumble about it. Just change. And once you change, then you can manifest it. And if that change doesn't work, you know what you do again? Change again. Change until you get it. If you seek, if you knock, what did Jesus say? He's going to answer. You're going to be full. Don't sit there. Oh, I better not do that. Skippy will start. <laughs> 103 Hendricks Road. You know, after about an day or two of knocking at 103 Hendricks Road, the thought might occur to you that nobody's home. Go down to the next door. And you know, a lot of times at the next door, the person's waving out the window like this. Yo, down here. But we get tunnel vision. We look at 103 Hendricks Road. Anybody live on Hendricks Road here? I'm not insulting. What road do you live on? You ain't telling me. You know better, don't you? If something isn't working in your life, change. Change it. Don't be so set that you're not willing to change. Well, I told you I had the same kind of problem with regards to my understanding of red light, green light when it came to faith. My problem with faith was Galatians 3:23a. But before faith came. That's what that scripture says. And I was taught that before faith came, there had to be a time where there was no faith. Because could you have something before it came? No. So I was taught that there was no faith in the Old Testament. Because Galatians 3:23 said, before faith came. Therefore, there must have been a time when there was no faith. And that is right. However, That statement is coming from the present premise. That statement is coming from the premise that there was no faith at all before faith came. And that's a wrong premise. Once you receive that doctrine that there was no faith before faith came, your tendency will be to view anything you teach or research about faith in light of that statement. Because of my great respect and love for my teacher, and of course he knows more than me, then I want to view everything in light of that, because I want to stay safe. The problem with that, though, in this particular case, is that you're dead in the water before you ever get started if you believe there was no faith in the Old Testament before faith came. So what's the answer? Very simple. The answer is right in the verse, right where it's written. Galatians 3:25 said, "But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster." What was a schoolmaster up until faith came? It was the Old Testament law. "For ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." The faith that it's referring to here in Galatians is the faith of Jesus Christ that is given to every born-again believer when they get born again. That's the faith that it's referring to before faith came. Well, was there a time when Jesus Christ wasn't here? Yeah. Could you have the faith of Jesus Christ if he wasn't here? Yeah. I don't think so. He had to be what? Born. He had to accomplish his mission. He had to be ascended. He had to give the gift of Holy Spirit on the day of what? And then faith of Jesus Christ could what? Come. The faith of Jesus Christ is the faith you receive when you receive the Holy Spirit, when you get born again. That's why it says before faith comes. Before faith came, we were kept under what? Well, there was no faith in Jesus Christ because very simply, it was not what? Available. It wasn't available. We then referenced Hebrews 11, where the scripture says, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, and many others are recorded in the scriptures as having faith. Hebrews 11:4 says, "By faith Abel." 11:5, "By faith Enoch." 11:7, "By faith Noah." 11:8, "By faith Abraham." 11:11, "Through faith Sarah." 11:20, "By faith Isaac." 11:21, "By faith Jacob." 11:22, "By faith Joseph." 11:23, "By faith Moses." 11:32, "And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and of the prophets." 39a, "And all these having obtained a good report through what?" Bible says, one or two witnesses that the word be established. I just gave you a dozen. And all these guys were in the Old Testament. By faith. By faith. By faith. And I know exactly the teaching, you know too. That's translated believing, but that's not the truth of what I'm going to show you that scriptures teach. It's faith. To say there was no faith in the Old Testament and to use Galatians 3:23 to prove it is ludicrous at best, because there's so many other scriptures that are translated. Look, if you're going to translate believing in Hebrews 11, then I'm going to translate faith in Galatians 23. It's not. It's faith. John 1. "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." John 1:17. Very clearly. Third grade education could read this. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Okay, the scripture says that grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So before Jesus was born, could there be any grace and truth in the world because it didn't come by Jesus Christ? Could you have something before it was available? If grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, was it available to have grace and truth before Jesus Christ brought it?
No.
Yeah. But you know what Genesis 6:8 says? It says, but Noah found what? Grace in the eyes of the Lord. Okay. And talking about Abraham's eldest servant going out to find a wife for Isaac, Genesis 24:27 says, blessed him, Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. So was there grace and truth in the Old Testament before Jesus Christ? Okay, let's try again. Was there grace and truth in the Old Testament before Jesus Christ came?
Yes.
Sure there was. Now, how are you going to find any grace and truth in the Old Testament if it didn't come with Jesus Christ? You see? It's not talking about the same faith. The faith that came with Jesus Christ was the born-again grace administration mystery kind of faith. And that wasn't available. Galatians 3:23 says, but before faith came, we were kept under the law. Sure, that's all that was available is the law. What faith are we talking to? The faith shut up, which should be afterwards revealed. This faith was going to be revealed. What ended the law? The administration of grace, right? Jesus Christ, right? Could anyone have the faith of Jesus Christ before Pentecost?
No.
Why? Because it didn't come yet. Didn't come. Wasn't available before faith came. They were shut up under what? The law. See? It wasn't available. Then we looked at Romans 16, verse 25. Now unto him that is of the power to establish you according to my gospel. It was whose gospel? Paul's gospel. What was Paul's gospel? The administration of what?
Grace.
The mystery. Grace, right? Establish you to the preaching of my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ and the revelation of the mystery. It's in the scripture. See it? It's a revelation of the mystery was his gospel. Which was kept secret before the world began. Was the grace that Jesus Christ, or the faith that Jesus Christ going to bring, that afterwards should be revealed, kept secret before the world began? Absolutely. Why did he keep it secret? Because if the devil knew it, you think he would have let him bring that kind of faith? Hell no. 26. But when? What's it say? Now. What is now? Time. But now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophet according to the commandment of the everlasting God and known to all nations for the obedient of the what? Doesn't say the. For the obedient of what? What kind of faith? Who brought that faith? Jesus Christ. But now, something had happened. Something had come. Someone had brought something. Who was that someone? Jesus Christ. What did he bring among other things? Faith. But now that faith has come, and you're supposed to be obedient to that faith. We saw in verse 25 that Paul said, according to my gospel, the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. What faith was he talking about? He was talking about the faith that came with the gospel of grace. What was kept secret since the world began? The mystery, the one body, the church of grace. When did this church come? It came on the day of Pentecost. What came on the day of Pentecost? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is God in Christ where? And it was what kind of faith? Christ's faith. So when Christ came in, you received the God kind of faith. You received now before faith came. It finally came. There's no more waiting. Every born-again believer receives that type of faith. Now in this particular segment, I want to look at the measure of faith. The measure of faith. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as many as have many, for we have many members, one body, and many not have the same office. So we being many in one body, and every one members of one another. Paul says in verse 3, the measure of faith. The measure of faith. God has dealt you. He has dealt you the measure of faith. The faith that Paul is referring to here is the God kind of faith that is dealt to every believer at the time of the new birth. Who deals it out? God is the one giving it. God is the one who gives it. It's not something received after the new birth. It's something received in the new birth. And it's the measure of faith. The measure of faith. Once again, you need to unlearn some things here if you're going to move forward and understand faith. Now, I was taught that the measure of faith was all you got. You can't get no more. You can't get no less. You got all you got. It's the measure of faith. All you got to do is learn how to utilize it. I think the statement was something along the lines, if you got the faith of Jesus Christ, how could you get any more? This sort of thing. Okay. So my understanding of the faith of Christ was something that you got when Christ came in at the time of the new birth. This is true. However, concerning the statement, how could you get any more? That's the question on the floor now. And, you know, just let me stop you here for a second. Nobody loves and respects their teacher more than I do. And do not think that I'm mocking or making light of my teacher. However, when it comes to the word is true. All men are liars. Okay? So this is not to disgrace anybody. This is not to put me on a pedestal. This is simply me showing you my hang-ups and where I got hung up along the way. Maybe you were smarter than me, probably so, and you didn't get hanged up along the way with these types of statements. I'm showing you my hang-ups, where I got hung up along the way, and how come I couldn't move ahead for some 30 years to understand these subjects. But once I did understand them, and I'm going to document them from the Word of God, then I was able to move light years ahead. So nobody's bashing anybody. And if you think that, you're nuts. Nobody's bashing anybody. If anybody's bashing me, I'm bashing my brain. Okay? All right. How could you get any more faith? That was the question. The authorized, or the American Standard of Romans 12:3 says, God hath dealt to each man a measure of faith. New American Standard, God has allotted to each man a measure of faith. As a matter of fact, King James says the measure of faith. The New King James measure says a measure of faith. Young's literal translation, God dealt a measure of faith. You understand? It's a measure. It's a measure. So you see, some versions literally read a measure of faith. Now, is it the measure with the connotation that it's full up to the top and there's no more, you just need to learn how to tap into it and use it? Or is it that it's a measure indicating that it can increase, it can grow, or it can decrease? It can be weak or it can be strong. It can be little or it could be great. It could be mighty or it could be shipwrecked. We need to go to the Word of God to see what kind of measure we were dealt. Now, the word measure, metron, in the Greek, means it's an instrument for measuring, a vessel for receiving and determining the quantity of things, whether dry or liquid. Measure is also used as a graduated staff for measuring. Do you ever get the door in the back of your house and when your kids are growing up, make a line? And then 6 months later, right? Sure. You're doing what? You're measuring how they grow. Measure is a determined extent. It's a portion measured off. And I just so happen to have a visual aid. It's a stick. Used for measuring or for whacking children in our house if you don't have a spoon around. It's graduated off. So if I went around and I measured people's noses, if you're Pinocchio, you got a long nose, right? 12 inches or more. But if you're not, you got a normal nose. It measured. It's a measure. Here you go, ladies. You know what that is? It's a measuring cup. And if I'm supposed to have 2 ounces and I fill it up to here, my pancake's going to be good. No, because I got the wrong measure. It's a measure. It's a measure. Now, if faith is measured out to each and every born-again believer, you can be guaranteed that the measure or that measure of faith that you receive at the time of the new birth, everybody else gets at the time of the new birth, because God starts you off equal, and because God is no respecter of what?
Person.
Did he give you Holy Spirit, more Holy Spirit than me? No. And is he going to give you more measure than me of faith? No. So whatever that measure is, this much, you all got this much. But we need to be able to go to the Word and document this. Matthew 6, verse 30. You want to turn? Fine. You want to listen? That's okay. Wherefore is God, if God is so clothed the field, grass of the field, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how shall he not clothe you, O ye of little faith? And guess what? It's pisthos, and the word little is in the text. So it's not supplied by the translator. It's little faith. Same book, 8th chapter, 9th verse. I'm a man under authority. I got soldiers. I say, go do this, go do that. And then they listen. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and he said to them that follow, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. Chapter 6, Jesus talks about little faith. Chapter 8, Jesus talks about faith being what?
Great
faith. Matthew 9:29. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to what? Your faith be it unto you. Personal faith, individual, wherever he was at. His faith. Here, here, here. Must have been up here because he got what? Got healed. Matthew 14:31. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of what? Why didst thou what? Who was this? Peter, walking on the water. When he was walking on the water, did he have little faith? No. What caused him to have little faith?
Fear.
Doubt. Fear. You understand? He started to doubt. So the faith that was required for him to walk on the water, to manifest a miracle of God in his life, was here. And he was walking on it. When he got deceived by his senses, he started to doubt. And you know what happened to his faith? It went from here, walking on the water kind of faith, to where? Drowning kind of faith. What does that mean? That means it can what? Decrease, right? Matthew 15:28. Is this too simple for you? This is as complicated as I can get. Sorry. Matthew 15:28. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as... And her daughter was made whole from that same what?
Power.
You know what the word great is in the Greek? Megas. Here's a teaching. Mega kind of faith. She had mega kind of faith. As opposed to little kind of faith. Right? What kind of faith do we want? Mega kind. Romans 4:19. And not being weak in faith. See it? Weak in faith. Romans 4:20, next verse. Promises on God, but was what? Strong in faith. Got it? So it's available to be what? Weak in faith, and it's available to be strong in faith. Mark 4, verse 40. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have how much faith? No faith. No faith. The answer was right in the verse why they didn't have no faith. They were what? Fearful. They were afraid. Fear defeats faith. Fear is faith in what the devil says. You got it? And it defeats the God kind of faith. 1 Thessalonians 3. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your what?
Faith.
He sent to know their faith. Paul indicated that he wanted to know their faith. Why? Does the state or the measure of a person's faith change? Can it? Well, from what we're reading, absolutely. Absolutely. From no faith to great faith. That's a big span in between, right? 2 Corinthians 10:15. Not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other man's labors, but having hope when your faith is what?
Increased.
Increased. Well, if you can increase faith, for you that have all received the ticket, if you increase speed when you see the red light behind you, what do you do? If you're smart. You decrease speed, right? If faith can be increased, then is it not feasible that it could also be decreased? The New International Version reads of the same verse, 2 Corinthians 10:15, neither do we go beyond our limits by boasting of work done by others. Our hope is that as your faith continues to grow, our area of activity among you will be greatly expanded. As your faith continues to grow. You familiar with the word oxano? That's what it means. It's a growing kind of faith. It's supposed to be a growing kind of faith. 1 Thessalonians 3:10. Night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your what? This is talking about something can be lacking in your faith. And you know how you perfect that which is lacking in your faith? By teaching. What I'm doing to you now. Teaching you about faith. So I can perfect that which is lacking in your faith. So you can apply faith and receive God's abundance and goodness in your life. 2 Thessalonians 1:3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith, what? Groweth, how? Exceedingly. And that the charity every one of you towards each other also abounded. Other abounded. It groweth, and it just doesn't grow. It grows exceedingly. God bless you, sweetheart. It grows exceedingly. See? Matthew 17. I'll go back here a little while, because some of you all would think, oh, he's in the Gospels. The Gospels don't apply to us. Now that I read out of you out of the church epistles, and the great book of Thessalonians that contains the great hope of the church. We have dismissed all that doubt and fear in your lives. Let's go back and read some more. Matthew 17, verse 20. Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, because verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be what? Seed faith. It's a grain of mustard seed. It's seed faith. And this is real interesting. I don't have time to teach it to you. I will along the way. But it's a seed. And when you plant a seed, everything that that seed's ever going to be is in that seed, right? But it's got to what?
Grow.
But in order for it to grow, you got to do what? You got to water it. You got to give it sun, right? Sure. There's things that you have to do. If I took that seed and just put it over there on the counter and walked away, is that seed ever going to grow and produce?
No.
Does that seed have everything in it that it's ever going to grow and produce to become? Yes. But I got to do something to help that seed grow and produce, right?
Right.
Seed faith, very interesting. Very interesting, because a lot of people say they have faith. And they may plant the seed, but they never tend to the seed. They ignore the seed. They don't do their part so the seed can come into manifestation and they receive the promise of God in their life. This is one of the tricks the devil uses on people to discourage them from faith. Luke 8. Good? Is this okay? Yeah, it's real good. Good, good preaching today. It's the word. Luke 8, 25. And he said unto them, where is your faith? I call this lost faith. It is a lost and found place. We go back there and look. We got this place at the gym. It says lost and found. I don't know who the hell would ever want to put somebody's gym clothes on if they're not yours. That's where you go and look. Where is your faith? He said. It's lost or it's missing. It's lost or it's missing. Acts 6, verse 8. Hey, go down and look it up yourself. A couple hundred occurrences in the New Testament of the word pistis, translated faith. You'll get blown away. I just picked a couple just to prove a point. And there's more than just a couple here. The evidence is overwhelming, in other words. Acts 6, 8. And Stephen, what's it say?
Full
of faith. Know what the word full means? To the top. If you can be full to the top, then you could be half full, right?
Yeah.
Or you could be a quarter full. Or you could be the measure full that you started out with, right? Sure. He was full of faith. And corresponding manifestations, great wonders and miracles among the people. He did it. All of these scriptures and others plainly state that faith can be small or great, weak or strong, increasing or decreasing, lacking or present, missing, little or full. We also saw that seed faith can grow. Every born-again believer receives the seed of Christ at the time of the new birth. When Christ comes in, you get the faith of Christ. The faith of Christ is the God kind of faith. He operated in the God kind of faith because when Jesus Christ spoke, it was so. Right? That's the God kind of faith. God gives you this measure of faith when you're saved. I don't know how much it is, but it's the God kind of faith. It's the faith of Jesus Christ, but it's a measure. It's a seed. It's a starting point. They start you off all equal because God's no respecter of persons. So if you get 2 ounces of faith, for sake of illustration, you got 2 ounces, Ken got 2 ounces, Sarah got 2 ounces, Joshua, you got 2 ounces. That's it. No more, no less. That's what you got. Everybody got it because it's Holy Spirit in you. God gives you this measure of faith when you get saved. However, it's a measure. We have seen that faith can grow. 2 Thessalonians 1:3, 2 Corinthians 10:15. Romans 10:17 teaches us how faith comes. Jesus said, faith cometh by what?
Hearing.
Hearing anything that anybody says. Hearing what?
Hearing. The
word of God. The word of God brings faith when we hear. You know what Romans 10:17 doesn't say? Faith cometh by I heard. Or hurting. That's not a word. It doesn't say faith came by what you heard or what you knew or what you learned. Past tense. You understand? Don't rest on what you think you know or what you did know or what you do know. It says faith cometh by what?
Hearing.
That's present tense. You understand? You can't be stuck in the past. Oh, I know this, and I was taught this, and I don't want to hear that. Faith cometh by what?
Hearing.
Not by I heard. Faith cometh by hearing, by hearing, by hearing, by hearing. That's why you can teach a person, or you can teach a group something 100 times, and on the 99th time, they'll say, damn it, I finally got it. Why? Because faith cometh by hearing, cometh by hearing, cometh by hearing. And I was reading a story about a woman. She was listening to a set of tapes. She was in a wheelchair. She wrote a note to the minister. She said, I listened to these tapes every day for 6 months. And on the last day of the 6th month, I got up out of that wheelchair. And she said, I finally understood what Romans 10:17 meant. She didn't get it until the last day of the 6th month. What if she would have stopped on the 6th month? Would she got up out of that wheelchair? Yes. Nobody was her minister to her. Nobody rubbed her with oil. Nobody prayed over her. She was just listening to the word, listening to the word, listening to the word. On the 6th month, the last day, she got up out of the wheelchair. It finally clicked. And you know what she did? She acted on it. That's when she manifested the promise of God in her life. But she quit after 3 months. Some of us quit after 2 days. Okay? Don't do that. Don't let the devil rob you of that. It's not good. Matthew 4:4, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. What natural food is to the soul, spiritual food is to the spirit. Here Jesus said, what will cause a man to live? What will cause a man to be alive spiritually is the word of God. That's what causes it. F.F. Bosworth wrote, most Christians eat 3 hot meals a day and to feed their soul, and 1 cold snack a week to feed their spirit. Okay? You're not going to get big and strong spiritually unless you're feeding on the word of God. Will you get big and strong physically if you eat 1 cold snack a week? Some of us could do it, 1 cold snack a week. Like a bear in hibernation. As we hear the word of God, we apply this word. And our faith will increase. That's the key. As you hear the word of God, hearing, faith comes by what?
Hearing.
And apply the word, then your faith will increase. We have the extra blessing in the grace administration of being able to speak in tongues. Speaking in tongues also builds your faith. Jude 1:20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy what?
Spirit.
By what? Speaking in tongues. That's what that verse means. You want to build your faith up? Read the word, do it, speak in tongues. It's going to build your faith. Build your faith. Wait till I show you about the inward man and the heart. You'll see all this fit together. However, just hearing the word, listen to me, and just speaking in tongues like a house of fire, without being a doer of the word, will cause you to become fat and lethargic spiritually. If you just receive and retain the word without releasing it, you will become a fathead on the word. You ever watch anybody lift weights in a gym? You ever watch a new guy come in, 300, 325 pounds, 6'2", 6'5"? Because he eats a lot. And he's big and he's strong. He's built up. But if you don't exercise, you watch that guy walk over and try and pick up 45, 100 pounds. He goes like this. Oh! I got to go eat something. Well, that's the way it is spiritually with people. Spiritually, people feed their heads, feed their brains, feed their intellects. I'm going to eat Greek. I'm going to eat Hebrew. I'm going to eat Aramaic. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. But you want to know something? They get big and they get fat spiritually. But if you don't exercise those spiritual muscles, you know what you become? Flabby and weak. Then you get a little guy, weighs 130 pounds, comes over, 300 pounds, picks it up and squats it right out. Why is that? Don't tell me you haven't seen that if you weren't at a gym. Don't tell me that you didn't scratch your head and say, how in the hell did that kid pick that weight up? I can't even pick one of those ends up. Y'all done it. Why is that? Because he exercises. You understand? He exercises. Oh, do I know a lot of fatheads on the word. They'll tell you everything about every verse you ever want to know. You ask them if they ever prayed over the sick and saw a miracle. Ask them if they ever cast a spirit out. Ask them if they ever helped somebody that way. They'll say, what are you talking about? Don't you know that the Greek word means such and such? And you don't daimon a daimonian and dynamitsomai, which is the adjective form, which means to be under the influence of. See, it doesn't work. Jesus Christ said that you got to not only eat the word of God, see, but you got to exercise it. That's how you grow your faith. You will not grow your faith unless you read, study, speak in tongues, and do. You got to be a doer of the word. If you don't exercise your muscles in your body, they become flabby and weak. They're there. You just don't use them. So you know what they become? Lifeless. They become lifeless. So it is with the Word of God. You can read and speak in tongues like a house on fire, but if you don't engage, if you don't exercise, if you don't become a doer of the Word, your faith will never come into manifestation. Never. You will never receive from God anything that requires faith. Listen, because if it's faith, it's action. If it's faith, it's action. Faith without works is dead. It's head knowledge. It's mental assent. It's one of the greatest spiritual counterfeits pawned off and being fed to the Church of Christ today. James 2, verse 26 says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is what? Dead also. So is it available to have dead faith? You better believe it. What kind of people have dead faith? People that sit around, feed themselves, talk a good story, but won't lift their hand to help a brother. Won't lift their hand to put it on the sick and pray for them to become whole. Won't engage a demon and cast it out in the name of Jesus Christ. That kind of faith is dead. Dead faith. So what have we seen so far? Faith can be small, it can be great, it can be weak or strong, it can increase or it can decrease, it can be lacking or present, it could be missing, little or full. Seed faith can grow. Every born-again believer receives the seed of Christ in a new birth. And when Christ comes in, you get the faith of Christ. The faith of Christ is the God kind of faith. God gives you this measure of faith. However much it is, when you receive the Holy Spirit at the time of the new birth. But it's a measure. We saw that faith can grow. 2 Thessalonians 1:3, 2 Corinthians 10:15. Romans 10:17 teaches us how faith comes. And faith will continue to come and come and come and come as you read, as you read, as you read, and as you do. See? receive, retain, release. That's the way it is. You can't put no more in until you release it. You know how you release it? By being a doer of the word. Why are you releasing your faith that way? So you can get what? Filled up. You can get more. Look, you know damn right well. See, faith is at a level, at different levels, at different times in your life. Okay? Sometimes you just couldn't believe for a quarter. And then sometimes you're on the top of the world and you say, you bring them on. Right? You know that. Experientially. Why is that? It's because where you were spiritually at those times in your life. Okay? But if you think that you got the measure of faith and that's all you're getting and you want to start on the ladder, you don't climb a ladder by starting on the top rung. I got news for you. You got to start where? Down here. So you know what? If you're down here, then exercise your faith down here. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Because if you try to exercise your faith up here, you know what's going to happen? You're going to fail. And then you know who you're going to blame? God. But you know who you're saying? God's a liar. That's what you're saying. His promise says this, but he's a liar. Must be him. Can't be something that I've done. If something doesn't work, what do? Change. Change. Well, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. What natural food is to the soul, spiritual food is to the spirit. Jesus said what will cause man to live and be alive spiritually is the word of God. As we hear the word of God and apply his word, our faith will increase. We have the extra blessing in this administration of speaking in tongues, which also builds our faith. However, just hearing the word and speaking in tongues like a house on fire without being a doer of the word will cause you to become fat and lethargic spiritually. So it is with the word of God. You can read all you want, you can speak in tongues all you want, but if you don't engage, if you don't exercise, if you don't be a doer of the word, your faith will never come into manifestation. You will never receive anything from God that requires faith, because if it's faith, it's action. Faith without works is what?
Dead.
So let's be hearers of the word, and let's be doers of the word. And as we do that, our faith will increase inside of us. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And oh, Father, it doesn't matter where we are on the ladder of life, that we just be content right there, exercise our faith there, continue to read, continue to do, and continue to grow. And we thank you, Father, for teaching us how wonderful you are to make this so simple and so easy to be understood, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.